Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in Jesus' name. I pray that you had a great day today. Been pretty nice here where I'm at. Got done what I needed to do today. And now we're back to where we can get back into the Word of Almighty God. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your Word this evening, Father, we thank you for this word because it means life or death to us, Father. And we need the Holy Spirit to come forth and to give us the knowledge and the truth of this word so that we can walk in truth, in righteousness, belonging to you. In your family, Father, and not the ways of this world and the things that Satan and his little demonic force is wanting of us. So, Father, now as we get into your word, be with us. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to be getting in to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Got several things in it. A lot of things that we already studied, but got a lot of things too that so far we hadn't. But that we will be getting into deeper the farther in we get. All right, let's begin here with verse 1. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. What he's talking about here You see, they talk just a little different than we do. And what he is actually saying here is we're not to hide these things that belong to our brother for ourselves. Not that we hide ourselves from them, but that we don't hide them for ourselves. Now, two, and if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know not, if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. In other words, if you don't know where he's at and how to find him, if you take whatever it is that has been lost to your place, but you keep it until he comes looking for it, and then you are to return it to him. Now here in verse 3. In like manner shall thou do with his ass, and so shall thou do with his raiment, and with all lost things of thy brothers, which he has lost, and thou hast found, shall thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself. In other words, it doesn't matter whether it's clothing or what it is. It don't belong to you. It belongs to a brother, someone else. You don't hide it to keep it for yourself. You are to return it, whatever it may be. No. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. In other words, you are to help. If they have fallen down, been hurt some way or another, you are to help him. Here's something that should be very well taken today in most of our churches that is not. And that's verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. For one, a woman was not to show skin. That sure don't work today, does it? Because a lot of your women today had very little or cover very little. And even in putting on, they'll wear trousers and a shirt like a man, claiming they do so to cover up. Not really, because they wear them so tight that all they do is they work like a second skin, and there's nothing really hid. And most of it will point things out that should not be pointed out. You see, ladies, God lets you know about your dress. There's going to be more as we go through about that. But here in this chapter, this will be about basically about it. Now, here in 6, if a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam setteth upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. Now, you see, he's given there a law of protecting that bird's nest. And that provision forbids taking both the mother bird and her young or her eggs from the nest. This law was designed to protect the food supply for God's people. You see, they was not to waste anything. And they was not to take that nest and destroy anything. Because as they grew, then they could be used for food. And the adult that setteth on the nest, that is her way of multiplying. You see, God doesn't leave anything undone. And going through the New Testament, you're going to find a lot of things from the Old Testament that has come forward. Now, 7, but thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. In other words, a nest has fallen from a tree, and it's got the young in it, but the mother or the adult bird is not around, then you're to take it and to care for them, to help them to grow. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house. If any man fall from thence, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown, and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. In other words, you don't mix it. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Because the one, they're not going to work well together. And he's letting us know that we don't do that. 11. Thou shalt not wear a garment of different sorts as of woolen and linen together. Aren't you glad that don't work? And not one of the things that we have to abide by today? Because almost all of us wear clothing that is made from both. And in their day and time, they couldn't do that. Now, 12. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. And you know, men, what they call prayer calls. And they won mostly all the time. And this is what is called in the Bible, over in the New Testament even, their closet. Because you see, when they would go to pray, they would pull that shawl up over their head and bring it in front of their faces and close it off to close out everything around them. And then they could pray to the Lord without any interruption or interference. And on them, on the four corners, they had long fringes with a knot tying them on, and they still do today. In fact, I had asked a rabbi about one, and he was telling me how I could get one through his ministry. I sent him the check, but I never did get the prayer shawl. I wanted to get it so I could let the church see it, so we could also have more coming in willing to help the Israelites than what we do now. Yes, we help them. We give to them. I wanted it to be more. And I thought that would help. But like I said, I have still, this has been months and months now, and I've still never received that prayer shawl. Now, that's the one where we're told to make the fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture wherewith thou coverest thyself. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her. Uh-oh. You see, their speech is kind of odd. As you'll see, as we get a little further into this subject here. 14, and give occasions of speech against her to bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. In other words, he's saying that she is not a virgin. He's talking against her. And we all know that back then, they were given by their fathers. Talking about one of them could really lead to troubles, as we find here. 15. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gates. They're to bring proof of her virginity or being a virgin. 16. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hated her. And lo, he has given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. In other words, he found her not to be a virgin. This is his talk. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. All this proof they brought that she is a virgin. And they spread that before the elders of the city. 18. And the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he has brought upon an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. He really messed up. And it cost him. Cost him in silver. That he had to pay 100 shekels of silver. That he had to give to her father. For talking against her name and bringing shame. And then he had to take her for his wife, and he was not allowed to ever get rid of her. He was to keep her as his wife all of his days. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel. In other words, there's nobody there. There's no way to prove that she is a virgin. Then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die. You see, a young maid back then, if she lost her virginity, she was really looking at a death sentence. Because she has wrought folly in Israel, play the whore in her father's house, so shall thou put evil away from among you. Aren't you glad that today the evil that you committed, if you're a child of God today, for you to get rid of that evil, what you had to do was go to the Lord Jesus and admit you was a sinner, ask him for forgiveness for your sins, and it was done. Nothing like what they faced and would have to go through. Now, If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die. You hear that, gentlemen? Today, there's a lot of that that goes on. In the Old Testament days, that would have meant death for you. That's how wrong it is. And one day you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you haven't got your life straight from it, you're going to split hell wide open and end up in that lake of fire. Now, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. 23. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed to a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then you shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and you shall stone them with stones that they died. And look at the unmarried we've got living together today, and they are proud of it. They want, they tell it to everybody. They want everybody to know that they have moved in together, they are living together, and they're not married. Now, the damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he has humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. But if a man finds a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. Today we call that rape. He said force her. Today you name that rape. And you can go to jail for it. In fact, you can go to jail for quite a while because of it. You're not sentenced to death, but you can pull a lot of years behind bars. Now, but unto the damsel, thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man raiseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. In other words, she didn't volunteer to do it. She was forced to do it. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife. Because he has humbled her, he may not put her away all his days. He lies with her, with one that is a maid, and she's not betrothed to somebody else. She's going to end up being his wife all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. Now, coming through Leviticus, we found out a lot about what woman man could not touch or to lie with. And there was a lot of them. Now, let's see, how long is 23? Yes. Oh, up to that 25. Chapter 23. He that is wounded in the stone or has his private member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Uh-oh. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard, one that is born without a father. Think about this. Now, three, an Amorite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt. And because they hard against thee, Balaam, the son of Beor, or Bethor of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace, nor their prosperity, all thy days forever. Thou shalt not abhor Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. You see, the Lord is giving them everything that they need to know, to have things according to his will and his way. When the host goeth forth against thy enemies, then keep thee every wicked thing. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanliness, that chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come within the camp. But it shall be, when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back, and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. You see, a lot of things going on, isn't there? 15. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. Because you're not to deliver him back to his master. 16. He shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place which he shall choose, in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. If he's run away from his master and come to you, then you are to keep him and have a place for him. 17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Now we know what happened to the whores. We've been told ever since we started in Exodus. She stoned because she did. Now, Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a doe into the house of the Lord thy God. For any vow, for even both these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. You couldn't sell, even sell the dough and bring the price into the house of the Lord. So you couldn't sell the dough and then give that price to the temple. No. 19. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may make your page. All right. May bless thee in all that thou settest thy hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Uh-oh. Watch what you say, because what comes out of your mouth in that day and time can get you in trouble, and it still can, and still will, if you're not careful. We'll be getting into that more this week, because we are now in, and will be in, the New Testament as of tomorrow morning. Now, that which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. 24. When thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. You need them, but you can't carry any out. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, when thou mayest pluck the ears with thy hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. Here in your neighbor's cornfield, it was all right for you to take an ear or two corn in your hand, but you couldn't cut a bunch of stalks down and carry it out that way. You had to be careful what you were doing. Very careful. And you know that is why mankind found it so hard to keep the law. But most of it was because they were on their own. You and I, as born-again children of God, are not on our own. The Lord our God, the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ lives within us, is always there. That's why he is to be first and foremost in our lives. And that's why we can do the work here on earth that Jesus was doing. Think about it. We're told to do his work. And we can. God said, oh, we can't do what he was doing. He wouldn't have told you and I we could if we couldn't. And he's the one that told us. He said, these things I do. All. Not one, two, not pastors, deacons. He said, all that believe in me. These things I do, they will do, and greater than these will they do. Because you see, it's really not us. The Lord and through and with the Holy Spirit is using us to accomplish those things. We might lay hands on the sick and we may use our voice for prayer for that sickness. But even that, when we are born again children of God, it's not done by us. It is done by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He speaks to us. And as we lay our hand on that one, he flows through that hand with the power of Almighty God and brings about the happening of whatever is to be. We've got a lot more things to learn. I pray that there'll be some stay with me. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for times that we can come together to share your word with each other so that we can learn and all go out to help others that are walking in darkness to come to a knowledge of knowing that they need something greater than themselves and that they need to walk from that darkness to light, that light being Jesus Christ. And that they will go, Father, repent of their sins, put their trust and their faith in him, pick up the Holy Bible, start reading and studying your word, Father. Find them a church that is teaching the truth of your word with no deception. Not walking around any subject, Father, or anyone, but standing in the truth as it is given to them by the Holy Spirit. We pray for this land of ours, Father. It brought so much evil upon its own people. Father, I pray that the churches will come together, tear down these walls that has divided us. Stand together in the Lord's church, his church. There is only one true church. That's his. Come together and stand. Lift up our voice against the evil and bring this land to repentance so that it can be healed. Our government put back upon the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to come out of that darkness, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And that we can stand with them, Father, because we do love them. It is through them, Father, that we have and receive the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, be with us now throughout the evening. And as we lay down, Father, let us rest. Rest in peace. But wake in the morning, wake refreshed and in time to be in service again at 10 a.m. Eastern Time to begin our day again, Father. And to love each other and mankind. But most of all, that we love you, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. This is my prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. God bless. Have a great night.